Clean contact.
I hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me is Jensen Mizrak, Peter Leinweber. Guys, welcome back.
Hello.
Morning to you.
Good to be back.
How's it been going?
It's been going. I listened to the pod last week. I think that was last week with Alex and Steve.
Yeah.
Wow. I had some thoughts on it. I think I shared those off the record.
Do you want to share them here?
Yeah, this is like a reaction stage.
Yeah.
Since we weren't on it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I thought announcing them via the podcast was like brilliant.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
That was a really good.
Because I was on my edge of my seat the whole time when you said the handicaps, and I didn't know the teams. I'm thinking here, like, wow, Zach at an 8 is a steal. Who's going to get Zach? And then he got brought down to a 6 by his own teammate, which was tough to listen
at
to
the
reaction.
I know. Of course, it worked out that way.
Yeah. But, I'm excited. It got me excited for the staff trip. I thought Steve and Alex's descriptions of Dunes Club and Lost Dunes were empty calories a little bit. I thought it could have dove a little deeper into it, maybe specifically Steve, but I had that conversation with him in person. So,
okay.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't necessarily agree with some of the stuff he said, but you know, each person's entitled to their own opinion. So it was a fun podcast to listen to.
You have any thoughts?
You
got like called out by your own teammate a little
bit here.
I did
feel like there was a little hostility towards me. and I took that personally. Steve, I mean, when the teams were announced, you know, the first thing Steve says is, "I wish I had Peter on my team instead." Like, dude, like,
it's tough.
You have a reaction to like the people that are actually on your team.
Yeah.
You know? You know what? I did commend him. He gave me a nice compliment about how straight I hit the golf ball, which is very nice.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Steve. And
he said you gained some distance too, which is another nice compliment.
Which is true, yeah. That's a nice compliment as well. And so, I just hope that's enough, you know, for Steve.
Yeah, but I mean, in listening back to it, they clearly had no grasp of how a handicap system works in regards to golf.
Because right, because in theory,
the first reaction was that the teams are unfair. All the best people are on the same team, but strokes are.
In theory, different. You could have said nobody's name and just said person X has a 2 handicap, person Y has an 8, and then just separated them like that, and then that would be the even team. Doesn't matter how you separate them, but
yeah,
I don't think he was following.
Could have pulled them out of a hat, as long as the handicaps are agreed upon.
Yeah. The first thing Steve told me, like when I saw him in person after that podcast, was "Let's go," and I said, "No, wait a second,
No.
It's like let's go time? Are you sure?" It's like no, it isn't. So we, you know, we set aside our differences, and we are a team,
mm-hmm.
and we're ready to take him down.
All right. Well, we have a topic for today. I sent you guys an article. We're not talking about the Ryder Cup. We're not talking about Bryson.
Can we have a quick 30-second reaction
go for
to
it, Pete? You were there.
I wasn't going to say that,
oh, okay.
But I was going to say going into it after our Ryder Cup preview, how we went through the lists of the rosters and Europe just seemed like a more fun team to root for, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still think that was partially true, but I will say the U.S. surprised me. They surprised me in a good way.
I second that.
It was fun to watch. I wasn't like rah-rah USA, but it was fun to see. Well, it was fun to be pleasantly surprised by the team. They were more exciting than I thought.
Yeah. It was nice that like all this hype of, oh, this team's not going to get along in the team room and blah, 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 the Brooks, Bryson, like this team's going to be disastrous because they can't get along. Like, it was actually the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. It looked like they meshed really well and had a blast. So it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know which teams always have the best chemistry in any sport is like just the best teams. It's probably not a coincidence. You know, it's really fun.
Winning takes
winning.
Care of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. Yeah, when you're winning.
But Steve Stricker seemed like he was able to partially have the guys put their egos aside a little bit. I mean, he seems like a level-headed guy, never won a major, probably has nothing to be super cocky about. Not like maybe a Tom Watson in the past or even Paul Azinger who won his Ryder Cup like in 2008. Yeah. I just think that Steve might have been a good fit for that team.
Yeah, I mean, were you surprised that Steve Stricker let Bryson just hit so many drivers? You know, I mean, when Stricker played, he had a lot of success hitting it like 250 right down the middle. So do you think he was like, hey, man, fairways and greens today? Or do you think?
No.
No, you don't think so.
The rough was cut down. You can rip driver out there.
All right. That just means you don't think he was giving coaching from his own career.
I don't think
where
so.
He won the John Deere Classic a few times.
Four times in a row, I think.
Okay. So there, that covers it. No, that's just funny. I mean, like, Zach Johnson is going to be the captain at some point, and it's like the whole team is better than you ever were.
And you're Zach Johnson is true what you just said, but also like a low-key sick career. He won the Open at St. Andrews and won a Masters. Like, I think the list of people that did that is like Tiger, Jack, maybe Lee Trevino, and then Zach Johnson. Like,
they only play the Open at St. Andrews every like 5 years.
I know, but it's just a funny list to see Zach Johnson on. I'm agreeing with you. Okay. He's not exactly the most exciting.
If Louis Oosthuizen can finally put on the green jacket, he'd be on that list too.
Yeah, that's true. Oh. He's been close.
It's a good ball striking.
He's in a playoff.
But do you see everyone since the Ryder Cup has been like saying, like, wow, we need to change the format. Like, invite the rest of the world to the tournament. You know, USA is too good.
No,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're
talking about.
Yeah.
Like, it's the buzz on social media. And I read this article on the Fried Egg website, and they're like, it's such an American reaction to win an event that you lost 8 of the past 11 times and assume there's no more competitive balance in the
that
event.
We need to change it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're too
so bad. We
we're too good.
To
we need to
even
change.
Though we lost like 18-11 in France or something.
Are you saying like in 2016 Molinari was ranked 56 in the world, and then in the 2018 Ryder Cup he won 5 matches. So like, we don't know, you know, where the next guys are going to come from.
Yeah.
So
that team, this young team that we're very excited about, like, they need to face some adversity first before we keep hyping them up. They show a lot of potential, but it's not guaranteed that they'll keep it going.
Doesn't Whistling Straits normally have sheep like all around the course? Like, that's a thing.
They do have.
What do they do with the sheep during this?
Good question.
Did you see any sheep out there?
Didn't see a single sheep.
We have that picture in the bathroom here. There's sheep on the poster.
Yeah, like they're there. I wonder what they did with them during the Ryder Cup. It's probably sad. They just put them in a pen?
That's a good question.
Yeah, good question.
They probably ran away. Like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of commotion.
You think they just let them run away?
Tens of thousands. I don't think they let them run away. But if they didn't do anything with them, they ran away.
They probably did something with them. I would think. I would hope.
Hopefully, yeah.
These are the questions that nobody's asking. Like, where did the sheep go?
Do the sheep go?
I don't really care how the Scottie Scheffler Bryson pairing came to be. I want to know what happened to the sheep.
Yeah, that's a valid question that I don't have an answer to.
You should call Whistling Straits, like the number that's online right now, and ask them.
Well, if we could, I wish I could.
What did you do with the sheep?
I was watching the whole broadcast. I didn't see one sheep.
Not a single one.
Wow. I actually didn't watch the whole broadcast. I was hoping it would be a little closer, but it's fine. All right. Should we get into our topic? It's been a while since we've had a weird topic, so.
Yes.
Today's show is called Hot Cup, Cold Cup. And I sent you guys a study by Yale. You ever heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's a university. It's a college or something.
Something like that.
Yale University. And they did a study, and they showed that people judged others to be more generous and caring if they had just held a warm cup of coffee and less so if they had held an iced coffee. So they did the study, you know, where they gave them a, they gave them a hot cup of coffee, and then they like put this these like traits of a person on a piece of paper, and they asked them to say, is this a, is this like a nice person, or is this, you know, not a nice person? And the people who had the hot cup of coffee thought they were a nicer person than people who were holding a cold cup of coffee. So there's a related study that I didn't send you guys. I couldn't find it. They did, they, let's see, who did this? NYU. They put these, you know, those like word scramble things on like kitchen or refrigerators, where it's like a bunch of words and they're magnets and you can like rearrange them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So they put a bunch of those for people to try to like unscramble or make sentences out of. Okay. And then the ones, and then they would, and then people would leave and they would time how long it took them to leave after doing the test or after unscrambling the words. And sentences that had words like slow or lethargic or old, those people walked out of the room much, much slower than people who it said like swift or quick, you know, in the sentence.
Okay.
And the end. That's it.
So wow. Okay, so that's a different study. It's a different about study, how, like, but it's the same thing. Words and your vocabulary, like how you move.
Well, it's just like they saw a word that was like a fast word, and it made them, it changed their behavior. Huh. And so okay. same deal with the hot cup of coffee. Like this thing that they saw or that happened to them that was completely out of their control, you know, whether they're handed a hot cup of coffee or a cold cup of coffee, like impacted the way that they thought and the way they saw the world.
Wow.
And so it's basically like, I don't know, I feel like more people need to be talking about this, because we all think our thoughts are pretty valid, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Our opinions are pretty,
yeah.
Like, I made this choice. Like, I chose a white computer. You know, I chose to buy these specific shorts. I mean, you can see it. We all wear Lululemon pants. Do you think that's, we all just like independently decided that was a good brand? No, it's like, well, we saw that and then we decided to do something else.
Yeah.
I think it's like similar to this is like when I remember going to movies as a kid and like, or as an adult, and at the end, how the movie ends, I can remember like it affecting how I walked out of the movie theater or my ride home or whatever. Like if it ends in a really like upbeat, happy way, you like leave it and you're like, oh, I'm in a good mood. You like look at your surroundings differently. And then the flip side of that is like, if you see a movie with like a really sad ending or depressing ending, you like walk out of there like, oof, that was real. Like,
I want to go home and climb out of the covers.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's a similar thing to the word scramble, or maybe even the hot cup, cold cup thing we're about to talk about.
But the hot cup, cold cup is so interesting to me, because you'd have no, like, you all know a reaction to a movie. You know what I mean? If you're really happy out of a movie, you got a little pep in your step. Like, that makes sense.
No,
to
it's
you,
a little more
it doesn't
concrete.
Really make sense that, like, a hot versus a cold. It's like, that's such a random thing.
Like outside element of, mm-hmm. Of a temperature of something that's in your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a movie's supposed to make you feel, a cup of coffee is not necessarily supposed to make you feel one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. About people. And so you know what I mean? Like sometimes I'm sure you all have a person that you've met recently or seen recently. You're like, well, that person was a jerk, or that person was really kind. And it's like, well, were they really kind, or did you just not necessarily have a hot cup or cold cup, but like a different version of that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because assuming, you know, if coffee would impact that, other things in your environment would also impact that as well.
Wow.
Is it bad that I only drink cold stuff?
So I was about to say the same thing. I was like, you know,
because
iced coffee is my preferred drink of choice. I know it's Peter's.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. No, I think you guys are getting too hung up on coffee, on like on the actual coffee.
Well, I'm just worried that, like, you know, people are gonna see me with iced coffee now and think different of me.
No, because you're gonna think it's gonna change how you.
Yeah, but I don't
want to
be.
Them.
I don't want to be looking at people in a bad light because I'm drinking a cold brew.
Well, then maybe you should change your behavior.
But my. But it's the coffee that this article is claiming that affects your behavior.
That's what I mean. You should change your. I mean, like
you're saying, you're buying my habits.
Your habits. You should get a hot coffee then if you're worried about that.
I
don't think it's going to... The point, it's like, if it was that noticeable that, like, the day you drink a hot coffee, you think the world is, like, so sunny, and the day you drink cold coffee, like, you think everyone's a jerk. Like, if it was that noticeable, like, we would be talking about it more, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it's more mm-hmm. subtle. It's more subtle than that. It's not, like, this overt thing. It's mm-hmm. basically that we're a part of, like, an environment that, like, impacts us and, like, what we do. You know, it's like a... I don't know, like a school of fish or like, you know what I mean? How they're always like moving together and it's like a part of like this big thing and every little piece is impacting the others. But like, it doesn't feel like that. That's what I'm
like
saying.
One big motion.
Yeah. Cause we just feel like, oh, I chose to do this job and I chose to go to this vacation. I chose to have this feeling and this political opinion and this sports team. And I chose to have this, you know, talk about golf. Like I chose Titleist clubs because I like title, you know what I mean, but all of those things are impacted really like by something else mm-hmm. and so I think the lesson could be like, should we like not take our thoughts so seriously?
Yeah, I think so part of this article I would say, so maybe Peter and I aren't understanding as much would be we're almost taking it like too literal of like, oh, like I have a cold cup of coffee, like I'm a bad person.
Yeah. No, it's but not a no, magic trick.
It's more about the behavior that it might persuade you to do.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Or just the fact that what you hold could change how you see the world, which would then change how you know behave in the world. And so it doesn't, you know, you take coffee, you could imagine it was a different thing where if you were wearing a blue shirt, you were happier, and if you were wearing a purple shirt, you were sadder. You know, whatever. Yeah. All those, like, they don't do studies for literally every single variable.
Right.
But
this is in a vacuum, this study, and, like, if you added in a bunch of other variables, like, did you just listen to, like, Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles?
Sure.
While you had your coffee, like...
While you had your cold coffee.
While you had your cold coffee, I think the song would outweigh the coffee temperature in that case.
Yeah.
You know,
no, it could be.
It's a great point.
I mean, music for me, like if you're in a certain mood, like a certain song affects you differently than another song, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Music definitely influences my moods.
Yeah. Like the playlist I listen to, like when I go on a run or work out, is different than the one I do when I'm mm-hmm. like in the car or playing golf or whatever. So I guess what I'm saying is like, Jansen and I were maybe taking it, like you said, too literally mm-hmm. or like too cut and dry when it's just a part of the equation. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to hear that the temperature of your drink can potentially affect the way you see other people.
Yeah.
Isn't there some things like that about colors? Why, like, you know, when you go to like a strip mall and there's like all the signs and like all the foods mm-hmm. are red. And then, like, some of the other businesses have different colors. Because I think it's red is supposed to, like, trigger something in your head, like, make you hungry.
Yeah.
There's some, I don't know, something like that. It's like,
that's a great example. Because, like, okay, I'm hungry, so I'm going to McDonald's. But it's like, or is it just because that was red and that triggered something in your head? And so, because think about how people, I don't know, just people in the world and maybe especially on the internet, how, like, sure they are of everything and how, like, defensive and angry they are about everything that they're saying and how it's like, this is the right way and you're wrong.
Yeah,
but it's like,
it's the only way.
Yeah. But it's like, well, you just had a hot cup of coffee and the other guy had a cold cup of coffee. And, you know, obviously, you know, your parents, where you grew up, like sports teams, the easiest one. It's like, well, you're just either a White Sox or a Cubs fan because you lived here, you know, you were born here. You had no choice over it. For the most part, you know, same with me, same with Jansen. It's not like, you know, you like chose Jordan Spieth. I mean, you feel like you chose Jordan Spieth to be your favorite golfer, but like probably it's like, well, he's from Texas and I, you know.
Oh, for sure. It's like it's the environment I was exposed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. A lot of elements.
Speaking of colors, you got me thinking. University of Iowa football, their old coach painted the visiting locker rooms pink because pink's a calming color, makes you feel calm inside. And so, like, if you're a visiting football team and your locker room's pink, you're not, like, getting super pumped up for the game. He thought of it as a competitive advantage over the visitors.
I think it's still pink now, too.
I think the locker rooms at Iowa are still pink, the visiting locker rooms.
Like how pink? Like hot pink or like...
That's a good question. I'd have to do some research.
No, I think it's like a soft pink. It's like...
Yeah.
I think it's like this.
Soft pink. This like a Pepto-Bismol pink.
Yeah, I think so.
For the listeners, it's a pink golf ball, lighter pink.
Soft pink.
Soft pink.
Well, so then I guess this like circles back to... Maybe our last podcast or last podcast that we talked about that you guys weren't there for, but like arguing about like which course is better. Like, does this study make those types of conversations just like a lot more pointless than maybe they seem?
Well, I think you tie that in perfectly because think about Alex's experience in the golf industry.
Sure,
he's. Head pro, general manager, service industry, customer service, those are values, those are things that are very important to him. And so when he goes to different golf courses, like he even said it himself, like those are very important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you ask us, like my answer to that is going to be completely different. And your answer is going to be completely different either because of just what our preferences are, mm-hmm. and kind of what our upbringing is, or our experience in the industry, right? Like,
sure.
I think another good example would be, like, I got like my experience in the golf industry is like totally different than yours, Andy. But like, we both have the same job, but we got here two completely different mm-hmm. ways. Like, I went to college to do it and got the PGA, and then. You were an assistant coach.
Seminary.
You went to seminary.
Yeah. It's a little bit different way around to get there. Yeah,
you know, worked your way up to, and you know, here we are now.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And I think our coaching styles kind of reflect that a little bit too, probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I wanted to. When I was listening to the podcast from last week, I was thinking in my head like a huge factor into how, at least for me, into how you remember a course. Is how you played, whether you admit it or not. If you go out and shoot a 68 at Dunes Club and 100 at Lost Dunes, you're probably going to remember Dunes Club a little bit in a better light. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is. I must not have said this last week, but I like didn't play that good at Dunes Club, but I still love it so much. And so that's where it like that for me is like, that was an interesting, because I think you're right. Absolutely. It's like, if you play good, you're going to think that course is better. But this was like an example. This, and then when I played Pasatiempo, it was like these are two courses that I actually didn't play that good, but it still was like, oh, this course is awesome. Rather than like, oh, this course is unfair. But now we're getting to another, like, this is hot cup, cold cup.
No, right? Exactly. Like, it's not the only factor, but it is certainly part of the equation.
That is a big factor. Because when we were talking about maybe, I don't know, three podcasts ago of like, how do you rate a course?
Yeah.
One of the ones I mentioned was the one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Patriot. And same thing, I did not play very well there, but I remember it because of like the shots on the course or the, mm-hmm. the dramatic shots that you remember. And so I think that's like at the Dunes Club for you, like the tee shots are a little more dramatic. Some of the undulations a little more dramatic. It's like, man, I'm going to remember that because this was so it was more drastic. It was mm-hmm. a little more intense. Than maybe the Lost Dunes where I put a really nice round together, but it wasn't as memorable because the holes didn't stand out as much.
Yeah, you made a good point, Andy, on that last show. You can get a taste of Lost Dunes at other courses. I've never had a similar taste of the Dunes Club at other courses for me. So I agreed with you in that regard. Like, I've played court, and Lost Dunes is a phenomenal golf course. Like, really, really good. Well manicured, cool holes. I think you guys mentioned that 18 like unique golf holes, like fun to play. But I've played courses like that.
I thought Thunderhawk was a perfect comp.
Oh,
for Lost.
I can't speak on that. I've never played Thunderhawk.
Oh. I thought it was a really good comp.
Steve was offended when I said that, but it's okay. All right, let's not. The reason I did that podcast with Alex and Steve is because I did it with you guys. Like, we'd all just be agreeing about everything, like always.
No, it was well, so, it was, yeah, it was so, well organized to have yeah, those two
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, though, like, again, those, I guess, since thinking about the study, those conversations are like a lot, are like less interesting to me than they were before I read this.
Oh, are they less?
Like what? Like that conversation like you had last
yeah,
week? Like,
yeah.
Because now you're like, well, I'm never going to even do a podcast like that again because it's not like as interesting.
It's not as interesting because it's like what you think, like, it's like, it's hard to describe, but it's like, what, if you believe that, like, is what you think what you actually think, or is what you think kind of just like a response to other things that are happening to you? And it's probably like in the, it's probably more in the middle than we think, right?
Yes.
Everyone thinks that like what I think is what I think because
it's not an original thought.
Yeah, but yeah, we think it is. And so it's rather like, oh, actually what I think is just because I had a hot cup of coffee or because I played well there or because whatever, I got more sleep last night or because I got less sleep the night before. And so, or because there was traffic on the way to, you know, all these things that like could have happened or not happened that we don't, we like subconsciously like impact the way we think.
Back to a podcast from a long time ago, me saying that every time I'm in a hurry to get somewhere, I hit all the red lights.
Yeah. Oh, that's a throwback.
And then you made me say, I never hit the red lights.
Oh,
remember that one?
Yeah, that was, what's her name? It's called Inquiry.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Byron Katie.
You like yeah, flip it on its head. See the opposite.
Yeah. Ask yourself
so that is great.
Questions.
Yeah, so well, yeah, basically anytime you have a thought, you ask these four, there's four questions about mm-hmm, it. The first question is that thought true? Second question is, can you absolutely prove it to be true? Third question is, what happens to you when you believe that it's true? Like, how does it impact you? And then like the fourth step is like, can you like flip it? Like, fourth question is, what would it be if that wasn't true? Or like, what would,
yeah,
what would, and then,
like
then
what kind of person you'd
yeah,
be.
And then after that, like yeah, that, after that
how,
is,
how do you feel? Like,
yeah, yeah. After that, it's like the turnaround where you flip it on its head and you say like the exact opposite. So if it's like, I hit every red light, like the turnaround would be like, I don't hit any, you know, I hit all green lights. And then you just like play with how like that actually like could be true. As you know, maybe you hit all green lights is closer to the truth than you hit all red lights. Like we, you know, once you think about it, and so
yeah,
I think that's a helpful companion piece. Oh, great memory!
Wow,
done a lot of these.
Pretty good.
But I will say about those conversations not being as interesting anymore, like about course preferences and stuff like that, because they might not be original thoughts. I actually think it is interesting because it's fun to see why somebody believes that. Like why does Steve believe that Lost Dunes is better than Dunes Club? You got to dig into the factors that made him like that.
I think it's more interesting, like when you, like what you just said, like dig, right?
Dig,
you
got to
dig a little deeper.
Because the surface level comment,
it's not good enough, right? Yeah, absolutely. Have you guys like ever listened to like a podcast or a, you've seen a video or whatnot, and maybe somebody asks you about that topic that you watched the video over or you watched the podcast about, and then you find yourself quoting that podcast or quoting that
as if
video
it's your
you
thought.
A little bit. Maybe you kind of put your own twist on it, but it's like it's definitely not an original one. But you kind of, and maybe you preface it with, "Oh yeah, I was listening to this podcast, and you know they said," or you just kind of quote. And it's like now I'm gonna have to like start paying more attention to like what people say. If it's something like that, if they say at the beginning, "Oh yeah, I saw this tweet," or "Hey, I saw this post," or I listened to this podcast, and or maybe if they didn't,
Just had a conversation with Peter Donahue a second ago, where we were talking about the Bears, and I found myself doing exactly what you just said, but not maliciously, but saying a thought about the Bears that I had heard on a podcast like a few days ago or on the radio or whatever, and I'm sure Pete thought that was my original thought. And it wasn't. It was something I heard and agreed with, but used. And that's part of like whatever. Like,
well,
that's
the part of like having a fun conversation.
Yeah.
Is like using the knowledge that you have or the resources that you have. Right.
Got to cite those sources.
But it's, I think
it's
more
important
that,
to be like truthful of like what you personally think.
Yeah. You know, that's not to say like you shouldn't have conversations or discussions about things that you like. It's more of those conversations tend to be so like divisive, and it's like I'm right and like you're wrong. You know what I mean? They're like, people are so hard about proving that their point is correct, but really actually like, again, it's not what you think isn't what you think. It has more to do with the environment than you probably realize. And so I think if like everyone acknowledged that, this would probably be like a more, you know, peaceful world.
Probably a little bit.
It's really what we're after on this podcast. World peace.
World peace.
One podcast at a time.
I'm trying to think if this has any other like golf parallel. I guess it doesn't have to.
We talked about this before about like how people tend to remember the bad shots more than the good ones, and like what outside factors make somebody think like, oh, I played poorly that round, because they're only thinking of the crappy holes or the bad shots that they hit, when in reality, like, did they play that poorly or vice versa? Like, I played well. It's like I remember being a kid, like not playing well the whole day, not hitting a single good drive. Then on 18, you like smoke your drive and you're like, I hit the ball pretty well today. Like, it was just that one shot that like affected your mood for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. We talked about plenty of times how rounds can affect people's like behavior or mood the rest of that day or week or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not, it's kind of a pushed parallel. No,
I'm thinking about like the person who comes in, I don't know, maybe the person whose approach to like learning golf is like, it's like YouTube and like quick tips and like, where does that, you know what I,
like, it's a big pet peeve.
Yeah, but where does that come, do you know what I mean?
I'm like picturing that, a couple people right now.
It's that's a person who, I don't know, those are like their thought, like they have certain thoughts about how to get better, and those thoughts are, like, this is, you know, it feels really like real and tangible that these swings can fix your drive in 5 minutes.
I thought of you the other day. I forgot to tell you this. I'm like laughing about him. This guy, I'm in the middle of teaching travel, and I got like, you know, four youngsters. You just whacking balls on the range. And this guy comes up, walks up right up to me. He goes, hey, I just got this hybrid. Should I hit it more like a driver or more like an iron? And I'm like, dude, I got four kids. I'm trying to work
in the middle of class. He came up to you? Like a random guy.
Oh. Random guy. He was like a couple stalls down from us. He goes, hey, I assume you're the coach here. I'm like, yes, sir. Should I hit this hybrid more like an iron or more like a driver? I said, hit it like an iron. He goes, oh, thanks for the tip. And I was like, oh my God.
I love that you answered it too.
I mean, he wasn't going to go away unless I said something, you know, but I didn't give him much. I was like, I said, hit it like an iron. Don't be afraid to take a divot. Wow. So shout out to that guy. I think it worked because I saw him hit one good shot. So hope it worked. Hopefully he'll come back more and we can talk about that conversation a little deeper. But, you know, there's guys like that that's willing to come and interrupt the class. And
Well, he got what he was looking for. He's a smart guy.
And find some results. So
couldn't wait till the end of class to go ask you.
He got me. He's the one that came out victorious on that end. Wow.
Any last thoughts to wrap it up? Is this going to change anything about the way you see the world?
I'm trying to. When you sent this video, I got a Keurig, you know, a couple months back. And so, like, that was the first time I was actually drinking hot coffee for the first time ever. And, like, you know, I converted. You know, you were always kind of pushing me to, hey, try, you know, it's not as bad as you think. Like, can't believe you always drink iced coffee. And the only time I would ever have hot coffee would be, like, on golf trips. Like, when we'd go to the diner or we'd go, like, a hotel. And it's, like, kind of
you said that to him? You were judging his iced coffee?
I think I was misquoted a little bit, but
he
wasn't. He's in the Colin same. Andy. He's in the ballpark.
playing your own game.
You're in the ballpark, though. I don't mind. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
it's like, oh, interesting. You only drink ice cream. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
But my Keurig broke, so I'm back on the iced coffee grind.
There we go.
So it's just, you know. Wait, I was thinking, like, when you sent this article, how was I as a person when I had my Keurig and when I didn't? And I was just thinking about, like, you know, was my relationship good with my girlfriend? Was I teaching good lessons at that time? How was my golf game? Like, I was thinking about all these things. Well, I didn't come into any conclusions, but...
Well, wait, do you think... I hope if the conclusion to this was that you just need to drink more hot coffee, I think that's not...
It's not a bad thing.
Well,
right?
I suppose it's not a bad thing, but I guess it's more of like, do you hold your thoughts or your opinions lighter, like, based on this? Do you know what I mean? Do you believe that you're, like, influenced by these outside things that you don't really notice? Or is it kind of like, well, nah, you know?
No, I definitely believe that, like, there are elements that we come in face every day with that like determine how we make decisions. Like, there's no mm-hmm. question about that. Just this conversation of it's something like that we can relate to so much of hot and cold coffee, mm-hmm. Makes it feel real. Kind of makes it feel a little goofy, but it's very true. So I do believe it for sure.
This will be a good dinner conversation tonight with Kate. I'll report back next show.
Wow.
But yes, I think it will partially, at least for the near future, maybe not long-term future, will affect the way I think about people's opinions or my own opinions or whatever.
So this is life-changing.
I think my big takeaway is trying to find other things that are like this article.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be like, especially golf-specific things, like, you know,
Yeah, yeah, but it's like, so golf...
You know
golf,
what I mean? I'm just going to be like way more aware.
But yeah, I don't... I mean, maybe it could never be this... I mean, this would be you could maybe start like a golf lesson / therapy business where like a guy who comes in is just like gripping the hell out of the club and swinging out of his shoes. Like, hey man, were you stuck in traffic on the way here? Or like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know. I wonder, that has to have something to do with it. Cause I think people kind of play golf like their personality a bit.
For sure.
You know, like that, like you can know a lot about a person
for sure
after you play golf with them. And so then,
so
if your personality is just kind of based on like hot cup, cold cup, like traffic, what someone said to you in fifth grade, what your parents were like, you know, then that means all those things like your golf game is impacted by those as well. So like your golf game is not. Your golf game is not your golf game as much as it feels like.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's where we got to.
I think because I'm thinking to a couple students, like you said, swinging out of your shoes, and that made me think of something. I have two students that always come to the golf lessons and they don't tie their shoes. Like their golf shoes are always constantly untied, and they swing crazy, like so hard at the golf ball. I think there might be something to that.
Wow.
I'm going to start looking at everybody's shoes and be like, how tight did you tie those today?
Wow.
You know, if their tempo's off a little something. You know?
Yeah, just that.
Or if somebody needs to, like, pick up the pace a little bit, like, hey, tie your shoes a little tighter. So I'll report back on that next week.
Good one. Yeah. Okay, we got some homework.
I mean, it's like we're all... Yeah, everything's
your
just...
golf game is not your golf game.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that quote.
Yeah. It's just a part of something. We're all just, like, swimming in an ocean here, and the current's pulling us different, you know, different directions.
Yeah, man.
And so, but I guess, but again, though, so like when, I would say when you struggle at golf, like if your golf game's not your golf game, then when you play well, you should not be as like pumped up about it. Like you wouldn't, to the point where you would like rub it in, like, I'm so good, you know, like I'm the best.
Yeah.
Not that any of us do that, but you can imagine those people are out there. And then likewise, when like people have a terrible round, it's like, oh, I'm so bad. Like, mm-hmm. well, no, like all of this. Your golf game is not your golf game. It like, it just kind of is. It's this thing you're like dancing with.
Wow. Does that mean your personality is not your personality?
Yeah, that's it. It's just not as much as you think it is. Not as much as it appears. And so that's what we're talking about.
Wow.
It's not going to go all the way the other direction where it's like we have no agency over anything. I mean, that could have that podcast. Different time.
Oof.
Didn't we have one on free will?
Yeah, we did.
I feel.
Was that the one with the multiverse?
Multiverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, where every event happened. So maybe. Oh, yeah.
We did.
God, I didn't sleep for a week.
We have talked about that.
Okay, so let's end with that. Your golf game is not your golf game.
Clean contact.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
I hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Come back. Here it comes. Come back.